The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland proudly present Where We Worship. This 30-minute locally produced program highlights Northeast Ohio's Catholic parishes and institutions, their rich histories, and what they do to meet the spiritual needs of those they serve. Now here's your host, Bob Tayak.
Welcome to Where We Worship, a program highlighting parishes and Catholic institutions throughout Northeast Ohio with the intention of offering you insight and understanding on the importance of community in our Catholic faith. This program sponsored in part by the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. And the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops best describes the parish as the place where the church lives. Parishes are communities of faith, of action, and of hope. And they're where the gospel is proclaimed and celebrated. And parishes are the home of the Christian community. They are the heart of the church. And why are they essential to our relationship with God? Well, one only needs to turn to Scripture. In his letter to the Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We must consider how to rouse one another to live and do good works. We should not stay away from our assembly, as is the custom of some, but encourage one another, and this all the more, as you see the day drawing near." Well, today on Where We Worship, we look at one of the newer parishes in the Diocese of Cleveland, this year celebrating its 45th anniversary, but a wonderful example of a vibrant community originally designed to accommodate a growing suburban population, St. Colette Parish in Brunswick, Medina County. And this is your host, Bob Tayak. Joining me on Where We Worship is the pastor of St. Colette Parish, Father William Krisner, who's joined by Parish Pastoral Minister Lisa Rady and one of the original members of the parish at its founding, Christina Dinklocker. And we'll begin first with you, Father Krisner, if we could. St. Colette represents an unusual development for the Diocese of Cleveland. There it was in the mid-70s, suburbia growing outside the city of Cleveland, expanding into adjoining counties, and suddenly a need to serve a growing Catholic population. Could you take us back just briefly to July of 1977 and a decision by Bishop James Hickey at the time?
Right, thank you. Well, I think that Christina would be the one to really talk to, because I'm only here now, well, I'm here 15 years. But St. Colette has a remarkable history. I know that Father Monovan, who is our founding pastor, really went door to door and asked for people to join the parish. So I think I'm going to defer this to Christine and see what she can offer to us about that.
Well, Christina, if you would, too. So you've got this bishop who says we need a parish here in that end of Medina County, Brunswick area, a little north. What was your reflection as a faith-filled Catholic at the time as far as the challenges that were suddenly placed in front of you and the faithful?
Well, it was a most welcome challenge for all of us to come together from the four communities of Strongsville, Hinckley, North Burlington, Brunswick, Brunswick Hills, because each of us, of course, were attending St. Joseph, St. John, St. Ambrose, the Our Lady of Grace, those churches around in our own communities. So this brought us together through Bishop Hickey's work, establishing the parish on July 1st of 1977. And we came together at Crestview Elementary School, which is right next door to us, on July 10th of 1977. 128 people attended the two masses at 8 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. And Father Monovan tells us that the collection was $376. So that was our beginning. And a coat of arms was presented to our parish on August 29th of 1977, which is patented and is printed on our various parish materials. Bishop Gilbert Sheldon broke ground for the parish on July 1st of 1981. So during that four-year period, Father Montalban engaged us in trying to gather the capital that would be necessary to break ground. So that occurred at that point. And then in May of 1983, the kitchen opened, and we had our first traditional fish fry on October 1983. So that was a cause for celebration, and as community brought us all together, cooking together and breaking bread together. So it was absolutely wonderful.
You know, I found it interesting to learn that the first parish school of religion, they held classes actually at a local Methodist church. Is that correct?
Yes, on the corner. There's a church very near us, quarter of a mile maybe, that's from the 1800s with a little cemetery nearby, and a very personable, wonderful community of folks there that sometimes come to our fish fries. So it's a sense of our Christian community along with the Catholic Church. So they have been very generous to us always, as has been, you know, of course, the school system allowing us to use facilities as necessary, and right now parking lot.
Oh, really? Wow. That is interesting as far as community involvement. I also understand that just as the parish was developing and planning its buildings, of course, the Rust Belt recession of the 80s hit. Not hard for those old enough to remember, you know, that was kind of devastating to our local Northeast Ohio economy in many ways. It also proved to be a challenge for the parish to continue to grow and develop. Was that pretty much the case?
I felt as a parishioner that we were on a roll. We had our mission, we had our vision through Father Montalban's leadership at the time. He had, you know, etched out for us what our path was, and we continued to follow that path on a local level. So I don't know that we felt that, you know, we were deterred or detoured. We just kept moving forward.
And, of course, in moving forward as you did, new church was dedicated, I believe, in August of 1992, and that dedication service included a real who's who in the church episcopate, did it not?
Oh, you bet. You bet. Yep. I remember it well. It was August 14th of 1992. And I remember it well because of the significance of who celebrated. And I remember it well also because the lector didn't show up, and Father Montalban tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're up."
Oh, that's it. Boy, call into duty quickly. And not an easy task, because if I recall what I had read is, I mean, of course, by that time, I believe Bishop Hickey, who found, you know, helped found the parish, of course, was a cardinal out of Washington by then. So you had all these folks in attendance, and you got called in. You got called in to do the lecturing. My goodness. Well, God bless you. It sounds like it went very well.
What an
well.
Honor.
When we return, St. Colette Parish, a family in faith and community, on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, St. Peter the Rock Radio, with special thanks to the Diocese of Cleveland for support of this program. This is your host, Bob Tayak, with a message to our listeners. Are you a digital subscriber to the weekly email newsletter provided by the Diocese of Cleveland? Well, right before the weekend begins, the Diocese delivers a series of updates and stories from ministries throughout Northeast Ohio, as well as Bishop Edward Mlesick's Gospel Reflection for that Sunday. Be sure to visit dioceseofcleveland.org and click on the subscriber box that pops onto your screen. And now, as our interview continues, my guests are the pastor of St. Colette Parish in Brunswick, Father William Krisner, along with pastoral minister Lisa Rady and longtime parishioner Christina Dinklocker. And Father Krisner, yours is a young parish by diocesan standards, and one which was operated between two or several long-established parishes. I think of St. Albert the Great, north of you, St. Ambrose. How have you been able to establish your place in serving the faithful in the community and do it so well? How have you gone about doing that?
Right. I think that we searched for our own identity is what we did. The parishes around us are so gigantic, and they are, you know, well-formed. And I thought when I came here as a part of this assignment that we would really identify ourselves with what I have experienced, quite honestly, as a kid. And I grew up in the St. Catherine's Parish, East 93rd and Union. The priests there were wonderful. The nuns there were wonderful. It was a parish that the entire neighborhood, the entire Catholic neighborhood, was really a part of. And I wanted to recreate that here. I really strive to make certain that we were as welcoming and as friendly and as warm as my memories of St. Catherine's. Because I only had one other parish experience, and that was when I was first ordained. It was St. Columbkill. Other than that, the rest of my ministry was at Holy Name High School. So this was kind of a new beginning for me as well as for the parish. And I think that we have truly, truly succeeded in making it just what I hoped it would be. In Christ, a warm, a welcoming, and community spirit in our parish.
Now, Father, that's interesting because, you know, your slogan, if I read it correctly, was a family in faith and community, and it sounds like that's what you truly established there, correct?
I really do hope so. I really do. I mean, I think that I have found that the people here in our parish are extremely comfortable. They just feel like they're home. In fact, over the doorways we have a sign in either entranceway, and it simply says "Welcome Home." And I think that that does it. I mean, I want it to be home. I remember, being all those years at Holy Name and striving to make certain that the young people, the kids, knew that the church belonged to them as well. And so I just kind of extended that a little bit further by age, and I think we've accomplished it as well as we could.
I got a kick out of a couple of your parish staffers, at least ones that I saw pictured on your website, and they're of the four-legged variety?
Right, exactly. So I came here from Holy Name with Shadow, after Shadow left us, then I got Lily, and I got Gracie, and I got Annie, and guess what? We also have a rabbit, too. But you know what? They are as much a part of the community here as the people are. Annie, being the youngest right now, has made herself very comfortable in some of the pews and among the people. There's no doubt about it. So they're an important part of our family and our community.
You know, it's interesting, Father, you said that, you know, because we hear so much now about animals, pets, if you will, being so important in people's lives, particularly during this pandemic and all of that. And it sounds like you've been able to initiate that and really work it well within the aspects of your welcoming there at St. Colette.
Yeah, and you know, there's something to be said for that, because the dogs are they have that tremendous sense of knowing when somebody is hurting or somebody's upset, and somebody maybe just at prayer, and especially the younger one, Annie. Now, she'll have no hesitation to go up and, you know, make a quick greeting and let them know that they're not alone in that church. There's somebody with them, and that's not only the Lord, God knows, but also a four-legged creature.
Amen. Christina, I have to ask you, with your years at St. Colette, from its origins, any special particular liturgies that come to mind or events that you can reflect upon in 45 years of St. Colette?
Oh my goodness, yes. The central theme is one that certainly Father Krisner exemplifies, and that is bringing people together and also our doggies together. And Father's known as the hot dog priest. And at our house, we don't eat hot dogs because it's that old notion of what goes into the sausage. But my husband was with me at church, and we were having hot dog Sunday, and ate a hot dog, and we got in the car, and he said, "I have never seen you eat a hot dog." that, oh, you will eat a Father Krisner hot dog, won't you?
Right. Well, that's very good. You know, I understand, too, that Christina, there's a special reflection now annually regarding the horrors of 9/11. And can you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely. The Father has a strong commitment and honor and respect for the armed forces, as well as our responders and healthcare professionals and such. And what he brought to our parish, in addition to many other events and commemorations, is an observance of 9/11 every year, where we have a bagpiper and all the first responders and their families proceed into the church, and there are special speakers and, of course, wonderful music by our music ministry. And it's solemn, but at the same time, it's a celebration of life and community together. What I especially like about it is Father encourages our young people to come, and young families, so that children can develop an appreciation and a memory and legacy of how special this evening is to our country and to our community of St. Colette as well. So it's a beautiful night. Beautiful.
Very good. Well, coming up, St. Colette Parish in Brunswick, its current ministries, activities, and liturgies on Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock. You're listening to Where We Worship on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. And our focus for this broadcast is St. Colette Parish in Brunswick. And I'm your host, Bob Tayak, and my guests are Pastor Father William Krisner, along with Pastoral Minister Lisa Rady, and along with longtime parishioner Christina Dinklocker. And let's move in this segment. I'd like to talk a little bit, Lisa, maybe to you first, to find out a little bit about, I know you've had at least one or a couple of special activities related to that war in the Ukraine and for the Ukrainian people. Can you tell us about the efforts at St. Colette?
Absolutely, Bob. So we have a parishioner here by the name of Jaroda, whose family is from Poland. That family was directly working with refugees coming from the Ukraine. We also have a dear friend, Lydia, who is runs Rudy's Strudel in Parma. And we know her. We know that her family has been in Ukraine. And so we brought these two women together, and we had a truly such a moving prayer service of song and prayer, as well as allowing Lydia and Jaroda to share what their families were doing and how we here in Brunswick could help them. I'm delighted to say one of the most generous parishes in the diocese, that in that evening we collected over $15,000 that was split between those in the Ukraine and then those helping the refugees in the Poland camp. It was beautiful. So beautiful.
It really is. And boy, outstanding. Talk about the parish in the community, if you will, in the worldwide community in this case. Can you tell me about, you know, some other ministries at St. Colette that you like to you'd like to highlight that assist the community in one way or another?
Well, we work very closely with Catholic Works of Mercy, with St. Ambrose. And so all of our ministries are always supporting Catholic Works of Mercy. We're doing a coat collection right now. We do a food collection. Of course, the things that most parishes do, like Blanket Sunday or whatever. But I think that we don't have a social justice ministry in the parish, because I don't think we need one. Because the people here care about each other, and they care about the people of God, and so it just kind of naturally happens. So, for instance, our daughters of St. Colette right now are selling some leather goods, and all those proceeds are going to the Ukraine because we continue to support those efforts. Yeah, I'm very, very proud of this community and how they love.
Father, I have to ask you, I ask this question in each of these parish-related interviews. Like so many today, is it a struggle reaching younger people in this culture, which tends to dismiss organized religion, you know, put it on the back seat, that type of thing? How are you able to deal with that that situation in this day and age.
Yes, you're right. It is a struggle. But I think that one of the things that we do here in the parish is that we start with the youngest, absolutely the youngest. So we will present a Christmas village. We'll do the Easter egg hunts, things of that sort. We have an amazing American Penny Carnival. It was something that I created when I was at Columbkill and brought with me here. And it involves little kids all the way up to teenagers and then beyond that as well, with families that are younger families involved with kids and things of that sort. I mean, so, yeah, it's a difficult thing, but I think that when you look at it, the broad spectrum of dealing with little ones all the way up, that's part of the new building that we're building, you know, a place where the teenagers, for example, can meet, play basketball, volleyball, you know, and just have a good time as well in a church that, again, as I emphasized earlier, we're trying to create as home. It's a welcome home place, and we want the kids to be comfortable here as well. I learned a lot from, you know, the years of Holyland High School as well, so that helped me a great deal.
You did bring up one other item. I guess we'll talk about buildings here, Father, but you're in the process of completing. Well, you tell us about it. What's being accomplished there? You mentioned a gathering space?
Yes, it's a parish center, and it will be named Corby Hall after where St. Colette was born. It will be a parish hall where we've run out of room. We've completely run out of room. A great deal of the rectory, in fact, has been turned into office space. Among the many things that we do in the hall, we have, you know, we've had a not exceed the number allowable, you know, by the fire marshal and things of that sort. So we needed a place, and now we will have one that will seat maybe 400 people, if not better. And but at the same time, it will be a place for just kicking back with basketball, football, whatever. Okay.
Oh no, that's fine. When would you expect that to be completed, Father?
November. I would imagine the mid November.
Mm-hmm. Very good. How can someone learn more about St. Colette Parish?
Well, actually, just talk to our parishioners. They love talking about this parish. But they also could go to our website. We have a wonderful website that highlights who we are and what we do with lots of photographs. Yeah, but always talk to our people. They're proud of us.
Oh, no, that's excellent. What's that web address, Lisa?
St. Colette Catholic Church.
And is that... Is it S? Do you spell out Saint or how's it go?
No, ST.
ST Colette.
Colette, 1L, 2 T's, CatholicChurch.com.
CatholicChurch.com. Very good. Well, you've been listening to Where We Worship, and this is your host, Bob Tayak. This presentation featuring St. Colette Parish in Brunswick, Where We Worship, a production of AM 1260 St. Peter the Rock Radio, focusing on the essential aspects of community worship and participation in our Catholic faith. As written in the Gospel of St. Matthew, Chapter 2, prayer as a community is essential for our spiritual growth and personal well-being. God does not intend for us to bear our crosses alone.
Thank you for listening to Where We Worship with host Bob Tayak, presented by AM 1260 The Rock and the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to our website, am1260therock.com, and clicking the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.